And I am glad and happy that I am a part of your worship tonight. And I believe that after my presentation, we will be more glorifying God, and we will all give honor to Him, because I believe that the work in the Philippines is God's work. I've been traveling to your country for quite 8 weeks already, and my travel is a learning process to me, and knowing more about my dad by knowing and meeting his family, and also you meeting God's people, and it is a God's family, huge God's family. And there is big love that I felt from you, that if I go back and try to see what I have underwent while I'm growing up, is I've been searching love. And today, God showed me that there is love. And so I saw your country, it's a beautiful country. It's amazed me how beautiful the trees are. I have never seen such huge trees, the evergreen trees. I like to touch their leaves. And also, I was able to build 2 days ago my first snowman. And my dad didn't help me. So I just, I saw a snowman on Christmas card, and it looks like there are three bodies, and they are all circle in form. So I just went outside my Uncle Ben's house and tried to figure out on how to make this snowman. And I had three attempts. First, my Aunt Martha says, "Well, Philip, it looks like a mushroom." So I did again, and it looks like a Christmas tree. And then the last one, I figure out what my Uncle Ben told me, that make a snowball. And that while you're making the snowball, you figure it out that it will become round. So I did try, and I finally got it. And oh, it's awesome. It's rolling. So I was able to make my first snowman. And I found myself like a 10-year-old boy, which I like it, because going back while I'm growing up as a child, and I will be presenting to you in a moment, is really, I did not have a childhood day. That is my complaint to my mom while I'm growing. And when she died, I still continue taking care of my siblings. So tonight, I will be presenting to you God's work in the Philippines. But in my humble mind, the way I will present it is, I created these two objectives. And the first objective is to present to you how the Word of God spreads in my country using my personal journey of knowing and accepting God into my life. Because I don't have a data to present of what my dad's work in the Philippines, but to use my personal life story is more an honest and truthful way to present to you and how I came and accepted God into my life. Second is to be able to describe the effect of God's work in the Philippines through Jim Futterbos' missionary work and many others. As I will relate to you my life story, I will also side by side, parallel on it, is my perceptions and observations how Mr. Jim Futterbos works in my country. The map is showing you Philippines, a very small and tiny islands. They are located at Southeast Asian region, and it is also located in Pacific Ocean. Highlighting further is the map of the Philippines encircled there, and the star on that large island there is Manila, is located. It is the capital city in the Philippines. Highlighting further is the whole map of my country, the Philippines. It is composed of 7,107 islands. It is a beautiful country, and I love my country. It is just that the leaders and the politicians that leads my country is not working well, I guess. They are into thinking of providing more for themselves and for their own families. The encircled one is the largest island named Luzon. And the black arrow there is pointing toward that island is where I was born. The encircled more of several islands at the center of the map is where the typhoon occurred. And today, my people there are suffering. And we have a coworker of Dad named J.R. Tibayan and Emilio Alvarez, and my brother Jeff went and traveled to those islands, and they tried to assess what is needed there because we have brethren that are suffering now. And one of them also, Roger Wanasen, contacted me and he told me that there is a food, water, and everything that is being provided by the international health. However, the houses that was blown away by the strong winds is needed to be repaired, so our brethren would have houses to live on. As a doctor, I believe that aside from physical needs, providing the physical needs of our brethren there, they also suffered depression because of losing their loved ones. I just pray to God that our brethren will be more strengthened on their faith, and they would come draw nearer to God with using these events. There is a small island there, Marin Duque. That's where Brother Emilio Alvarez and my brother Jeff just recently did their work there. And according to my brother Jeff, he just made 150 children happy this time. He provided small gifts for them in that island. And also, Brother Emilio told me that they were able to finish 8 houses for our brethren, and they just started 6 more. And he also was able to purchase 2 boats, fishing boats, for them. And that would be used as a transportation and also a livelihood for our brethren. Brother Emilio also told me that they just started to build a larger kind of building that will be utilized as a church for assembly and also an evacuation center whenever typhoons would come. Typhoons comes in my country for 20 times in a year, and today they have 24 times. There also is we have Mindoro Island, and we have brothers, and I have my personal experience traveling in that island, and I saw our brothers there. We have a big family there. And also Leyte. We have a big family there. Just to show you some pictures where I grew up, in a small farm, preparing the field for planting rice. Today, that carabao and the yoke is also being used by my dad to illustrate how should I humble myself to follow God's word. Philip, it looks like the carabao. You are the carabao, and its character is very humble, large animal, but patiently following his master. And the yoke, that is God's yoke, put it on your shoulder and let God be your guide. Carabao and fork-like metal to smoothen the mud. And I also help my aunties and my uncles to uproot the seedlings. Then we plant rice, 8 hours planting rice, bending your back. And at the end of the day, it is very hurtful. I should be glad to have Dr. Anderson there in my country to help us ease the pain on our back. Growing rice for 3 months, we will wait until the grains would come out. And when the grains comes out and turns yellow, then it tells us that harvesting is ready. So we gathered rice stalks for threshing. My siblings and I help in gathering those rice stalks. And there the machine, little machine that you could see at the back of the picture, threshing the rice stalks. 1983, I am now 7 years old at that time. We live in a farm away from town. And there is no school nearby. So my mother asked me to be away from them, and I need to live in my Uncle Danny's house to enter my first grade school. The farm that we work is not ours. We only asked some relatives who owned their farm so we could work on it, and my parents will have some percentage out of the crop, and that is our living. 1986, I am now 10 years old. My mother begins to get sick at the time. I felt the hardship in the family. It's really hard life. So we don't have money to put my mother back and forth to the hospital. My father then decided to do military training. So he left us in the farm. I participated in taking care of my brothers and sister, and I worked with my mother while living in the farm. One day, we have red rashes on our skin. We are six at the time. I have 5 siblings at that time. My youngest brother died of measles. I believe it is a measle that affected us in the farm at that time. It is hard life, because I remember my mom asking me to go to the farm and pick some sweet potatoes, to boil it, and pour out some water in it, and squeeze it, and the juice would be served as a milk for my youngest brother named Robert. And I also believe that he just died of measles, but also malnourishment. So then my mother asked me, "Go, Philip, be brave, and walk on the road to ask the relatives to come and help us for the funeral of your brother. As a 10-year-old boy, I have to be brave, walk on the road 6 miles away from the park. At that time, there is a humor, kind of humors that people would just kidnap kids on the roads. I was so scared to walk on the road. Every time that I hear a noise on the road, I would go and hide myself on the grasses. Then if it's already silence, I hear silence, then I would go again and walk until I reach my family, my relatives' house. And sure enough, my relatives came and helped us for the funeral of my brother. Then after that, my mother then decided for us to move to my grandma's place. Grandma's living is gleaning. My grandma will ask the owner of the farmers a permission if we could shake the leftover rice grains from the threshed rice stalks. From time to time, I also hear some owners of the farm won't let us do the gleaning on their farm. So sometimes I talk to my grandma and share to her my dreams. Someday, grandma, we will have our own farm. So living with grandma is hard. We always help her in the farm. While my grandma would shake those rice stalks, she would ask us to go and roam around the fields and pick rice stalks that had still rice grains on it. Then my grandma would winnow the rice grains to separate the heap. Rice is a very staple food in our country. Just a rice, steamed rice without flavor, and a fried fish. Dried fried fish is already a feast to us. Dried fish is all over the market. It is for the poor people. If it is not a harvest season, my grandma will ask us to help her to pick some gemellina fruits there that you could see on the screen. Those are fruits of a tree, and the seed, we will crack that fruit and get the seed and dried it. And we will sell the seeds to the nursery. Then, whatever amount that we could have, we will buy rice. 1987, I am 11 years old. My mother then died. Today, I believe that she suffered COPD and a complication of a congestive heart failure. I remember that my grandmother and I bring my mother to the hospital. And I hear the doctors and the nurses talking to each other, how then they will help us and to provide the proper treatment to my mother when we don't have money. Then relatives would come and they would help us. And finally, my mom then would be able to get a room. One night, my mother asked me to sleep with her on her bed. And she began talking to me and telling me all about her feelings. She then told me to take care of my siblings. And I will make sure that I will get an education so that there will be a change in my life, and also I could be able to help my siblings. He then also told me that whenever I saw my biological dad, I would tell him that all his salary as a military man would all be given to us, to me and to my siblings. So one morning, when I wake up, my mother is cold. So we ask the relatives to come and help us for the funeral. Then at the funeral, my father appeared, and he is about to finish his military training. So he still goes to the military camp, and we stay to my grandma's house. 1982, I am now 12 years old, and all siblings were separated. My uncle Danny picked me up, and I studied sixth grade in his town. And also, my sister Len went to Aunt Linda's house. From time to time, I still think about my siblings because my mom told me to take care of them. And being away from them is not within the promise. So, by understanding also that the words of my mom that I should get an education, and I contained myself and disciplined myself to finish the year, sixth grade. From time to time, I also visit my sister Len in my Aunt Linda's house. It is difficult to see my sister walking 3 miles away from my Aunt Linda's house just to go to school. So then, at the end of the year, I asked my grandma if we could all be together in here in her place. So one of my uncle agreed, named July, and he built us a small nipa hut in my grandma's backyard. 1989, I am now 13 years old. I am always excited to go to school and determined to study hard. First year of high school in a nearby town, 2 miles away from my grandma's house. Sometimes I argue with my grandma if she could not give me a coin or a peso to use for my bus fare to go to school. If she could not, then I will walk, sometimes barefooted, just to get an education. That is a typical jeepney. It is a kind of transportation in my country at that time, and even today is being used. We call it jeepney, and I hang myself on the back or on the side sometimes. 1990, I'm now 14 years old, and I am to enter second year of high school. My biological father then appeared with a promise to be able to support us. He asked me then to rent a room nearby school so that I will be, it is more easier for me to get to school, not to walk. But the promise, the support did not come. So I ended up asking the owner of the house if I could be a house help boy to them. And they agreed, and they saw my work. I really work hard to their house, cleaning it all night, and then pick my books to study again so that I will be ready in school. Before year end, my biological father appeared again, and this time he wanted us to take us all to stay in his place in Cagayan. So I agreed together with my brothers and sister, I went with him. And to our surprise, he is already married and had two kids. Defending my brothers and sister while we are living with them is still a continued thinking of that I should take care of my brothers and sister. It is difficult to live with them. And to argue with them is a punishment. And today I could even still see the marks on my skin, how my biological father had beaten me. So I now ask them if we could go back to my grandma's place and live with her. He allowed us to go, so the five of us ride on a bus. We just bare enough money to pay for our transportation. If he is with me today, I would ask him, why did you not bring us to grandma? Why you did just the five of us? Because the experience inside the bus is also hard for me to bear at that time. People would look on us without a parent. Before the year end, as usual, I am trying my best to study. One of my teachers noticed of me, and she starts telling me, Philip, why your clothes are not being ironed? Don't you have any mother to help you? And I told her the story. At the time, she then asked me if I will spare my time with her to listen the word of God. If there is a vacant time, she would ask me to come and read the Bible. Teacher Leah is the husband of our local preacher in my town. I am 14 years old. I received the word of God. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. At the time, the only word that I could understand is rest. And today, that word of God still guides me, humbling myself to take the yoke of God is a guiding principle that I use today. And surely enough, I find rest in my soul. Just being with you today and living here in the United States is what a restful soul that I had. 1990, I now meet with Mr. Jim Potterbaugh, my first time to encounter a white man. I intently listened to his lectures at Jacob's house. At the time, my teacher Leah told me that, Philip, you have to attend the closing ceremonies of the school because you are ranked number 3 and we will be giving an award or recognition to top 5 students in my class. And I told her that I may not be able to attend because I don't have a nice clothes to wear. But she told me that we will try to write a letter. Remember the white man? Yes, ma'am. So write a letter also to him, and I will also write a letter to him, hoping that he will help And surely enough, after 2 months, we received the letter. And there is a $150 help. And I was able to buy a shirt for myself and also for my siblings. The beginning of my Christian life. The purple column colored there is still the continuation of my life story. And the yellow one on the side of it will be my perceptions and observations how Mr. Jim Puthervo had worked in the Philippines. 1992, I am now 14 years old, and I was baptized by Danny Harlego, a preacher from Manila. By the time Danny Harlego is a travel companion of Dad Jim, I then now started to bring my siblings to church, and our local preacher was amazed and asking me several questions like, "Philip, why only the 5 of you? Where is your parent?" And I told him the story. Then the local church start thinking to provide help to us. And they all agreed to help us and provide us a shelter. And that shelter will be built at the backyard of my local preacher's house. They would like to separate us from our family because the small amount that they could provide, the food that they could provide is just only barely enough for my siblings and myself. So I think the reason why they decided that we will be separated from them is we will not be sharing what we get from the rest of the family, of my uncles and my aunties. So Mr. Jim Puthervo lectured on the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ before I was baptized. And I could still remember how he drew his caricature representation of how Jesus Christ was buried and resurrected. And that drawing still glows on my mind even today. From time to time, Mr. Jim Puthervo would come again to our town, and eventually he was then asked to help to provide some financial support for building our Nipa hut at the backyard of my preacher's house. So the picture on the screen is showing you how the Nipa hut was built. Those branches of trees and the trees, the columns, are really from the trees that had grown out from the backyard of our local preacher. So men, the members of the church came and they helped in the building of the Nipa hut. At that time is what a mixed emotion that I have. A shame on my part that I was not able to carry those branches of trees and help them very well. But I just console myself looking at these people and thanking God that somebody would provide us a house. And also, I see the hope at that time. The Nipa hut, that is the finished product. 5 of us stayed inside the Nipa hut. I am 14 years old at the time, and my sister Len, 12 years old, and now she also graduated and earned her degree in teaching. And she has now 2 kids, and her husband also stayed in the house, and they helped Dad in his house, and also my brother-in-law works on the recordings of my dad's preaching lessons. My brother Jeff just finished his bar exam law last October, and we are praying that if he passed, then that would be his dream would come true to become a lawyer. I pray to God for that. And my brother Mike is now a security officer in Dubai in the administration, custom administration. And also he is now married and have two kids. His wife also lives with him in Dubai and works in Marriott Hotel. My brother James, the youngest one, 6 years old at that time, he's now finished a Bachelor of Science in Medical Technology and he just got his license last year. The picture on the screen is, we call it tricycle. It is a typical transportation in our place, and even today. We ride on those when we go to school. In 1993, I am 16 years old, and I am about to enter college. And I talk again to teacher Leia how I will be able to enter college. She received a letter from our governor that asking all top 5 students in the high school graduates to come to the office of the governor to take the scholarship grant test examinations. We are all about 600 students took the scholarship test exam, and they will only take 100, top 100 students out of the examinees. And the top 50 out of the 100 would be granted 4-year course, college. And the second top 50 would only be getting 2 years course. And I'm very thankful to God that I was able to get a 4-year degree course. So I then choose the best school in town, taking up Bachelor of Science in Nursing. The course is still related to my past experiences of taking care of my own mother, and my experiences of a frequent visit to the hospital. I could be able to get a college away from the Nipahat that the local church had provided for us, but I did not. I just chose the best school in town so I could still take care of my siblings. One time, all of us inside the Nipahat, and I am playing also with my siblings, and I play with them. And I heard my brother Jeff telling me, "Philip, we don't have a mother and a father. Why don't we ask the white man to be our dad?" So I told them, "I'm ashamed to ask that." Telling that to our teacher Leia and our preacher might be considered as ambitious. So they insisted, "We won't tell. We'll just make our own letter, and we will send our letter in the postal office. They won't know." So I agreed, and we made our own letter to Dad. But to our dismay, after 2 months of waiting, he said, "No, I could not be your father, and I could not be your dad.